got a problem.
Oh, you want to try it again? Here we go. We can do this again.
Yeah, we better start over. I don't know. We have to make a run.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
From the Colorado Rocky Mountains, where I hope the right of the people to keep and bear arms will not be infringed, the Guerrilla Media Network presents The Reynolds Reveal, the new weekly show that no matter the limitations that may trammel inquiry elsewhere, sifts and winnows without fear or favor. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds, and today is Tuesday, June 11, 2013. This is episode number 17 of the Reynolds Reveal. I much appreciate you for listening in and therefore being part of the show. And yes, we do welcome your calls at the Guerrilla Media Network. The number is 218-862-9829. And I'll repeat that number at various points in the show. Today, I am in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado, on the Front Range. Why? My wife is an RN, and she travels to different facilities at the request of her company, SLC, which is a nursing home chain operator. And this is her second stint in Colorado Springs. And June weather appeals to me much better than her previous stint in February. So I wanted to come along. So last Wednesday, load up the pickup truck with the Honda ST1300 and a whole bunch of gear and stuff. We drove 16 hours across the Great Plains, Arkansas. We rode up the Pikes Peak, and Pat wasn't too happy with that. That was a little dicey, but it was wonderful. And then we headed over the Independence Pass to Aspen, where we spent the night downtown at a motel called the Mountain Chalet. That was a great experience. Back over the Independence Pass, we rode down to the Monarch Pass. Got home in time to see the Spurs get thrashed by the Miami Heat. That wasn't the outcome I preferred, but I kind of expected it. So it's nice to tag along and head out. I'm going to go out on another motorcycle trip here tomorrow. Okay, last week's show, we had Andrew Johnson and from the UK, and he did a great job discussing various parts of the cover-up for 9/11. We talked about Mars anomalies and why he thinks the Apollo moon landings, the much-celebrated moon landings, were a hoax. And he focused on coping with the enormous Chapman from... also from the UK. Looks like we... Veronica Chapman, and we will discuss 9/11. That's how I first met her, via the internet and emailing, and she is one sharp stand up, and she has a book available now on the whole wider set of problems and around the world called Freedom is More Than Just a Seven-Letter Word. So we're going to delve into that. Okay, but let's go to what's really in the news right now. We've got Edward Snowden, the whistleblower. who spilled the beans about how much the NSA, the no such agency, no security agency, the National Security Agency. Oh, yeah, that's it. And it looks like the surveillance is comprehensive nearly by the federal government. And we need to get straight on what's really going on here, because it all goes back from a practical point of view to the Fourth Amendment. So I need to tell you why this is so outrageous and it seems awakening a lot of people. The latest is, of course, we're going to have charges filed. But the real criminals are at the top of the Obama administration or the Bush administration or whoever the psychopaths we have in charge. Those are the real criminals, and I'll get to the specifics about that. At any rate, they're going to charge Edward Snowden, the Booz Allen employee who spilled the beans, and he's age 29. Charges will be filed. Oh, wow, Booz Allen fired him today, the infamous defense contractor, part of the military-industrial intelligence complex. And it's for ethics violations. Oh, how sweet. More revelations, Glenn Greenwald, the chief journalist who carried the story forward, says are going to be on the way, and even more shocking invasions. Changes in surveillance. Hey, he's the chief criminal in charge. Okay, well let's look at Edward Snowden's interview. I think it was about 12 minutes, and he's being interviewed by Glenn Greenwald. And Snowden's integrity and his IQ points are high. That comes across. And here are some excerpts. The public needs to decide. This is the truth. You decide. You can't come forward. He can't come forward without risk. But living unfreely but comfortably, are you willing to accept that? Most Americans clearly are, but he wasn't. You can collect a large paycheck for relatively little work, but he's exposing part of the architecture of oppression. And he watched this watching and recording is amazing. And he points out something where a jerk like Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina senator, completely ignores this. Snowden points out you can fall into suspicion. And they can go back in time and paint anyone into a context of wrongdoing. That's Snowden's word. And his greatest fear? That nothing will change. So he's come forward, and he's making a huge impact. And he says, it'll only get worse. We've got the surveillance state. We need more authority in the surveillance state, more power. And Snowden says, this is turnkey tyranny. Amen. Well, what would George Orwell say, the famous author of 1984 and Animal Farm? Quote, if you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a face forever. Thank you, George Orwell. That's what it is. That's where we're at. Look at the military now. Is being censored on the internet. They're not supposed to see any of these Obama scandal stories like exposure of the NSA and the Verizon phone records. They have no right to know what's going on back at home. Yeah, we got to keep our boys overseas in the dark, our boys and girls these days. So the Obama scandals mount, but the number one thing is the NSA indiscriminate spying on Americans. Now, Steve Chapman of the Chicago Tribune had the best column on this that I saw this morning. And he quotes Justice Antonin Scalia of our Supreme Court, who was part of a minority decision. And Scalia said, quote, at the time of the founding, Americans despise the British use of so-called general warrants. Warrants not grounded upon a sworn oath of a specific infraction by a particular individual and thus not limited in scope and application, unquote. No, let me continue Scalia's quote. The Fourth Amendment was intended to prevent such warrants. So the hatred of the colonists of just general invasions of the colonists' properties and homes was a huge source of grievance. Now, King George III was our Obusha of the day. You know how Bush, that little bleepity bleep traitor, that Bush, I could take that guy, oh man, he called the U.S. Constitution a scrap of paper. Well, what's the Fourth Amendment? The Fourth Amendment, I will read you the Fourth Amendment. And you tell me if be secure in their persons, houses, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Let's go over that again. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So what we have here is the Fourth Amendment to the, it's part of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. What is that, 1790? So a law enforcement officer ordinarily has to swear, that is, typically submit a written affidavit, a written sworn statement, and it's subject to, if you're lying, it's subject to penalty of perjury, fine. So what's it, the NSA just goes willy-nilly. And speaking of perjury, we have this unlovely James W. Clapper, who is the czar of intelligence, testifying before Congress. And when you testify, you are under oath, subject to perjury. And he's blithely saying, oh, yeah, we don't do indiscriminate spying on Americans. Liar. Liar. Of course, he's part of a mass murder regime. Now, where is the source of the Fourth Amendment? It traces back to English law, Sir Edward Coke, in the Semaine case in 1604, famously stated, quote, the house of everyone is to him as his castle and fortress, as well for his defense against injury and violence as for his repose. Semaine's case acknowledged the king didn't have unbridled authority to intrude on his subjects' dwellings, but rather recognized that government agents were permitted to conduct searches and seizures under certain conditions when their purpose was lawful and a warrant had been obtained. Well, this carried over to the colonies, this tradition in common law, 1604, restraining the king's agents from willy-nilly invasions. And there was a John Entick, E-N-T-I-C-K, who the king's agents here in America, or the colonies at the time, he was writing some seditious tracts against the king and the English government domination of the colonies, and they invaded his property And in John Entick v. Carrington in 1765, the ruling was that the executive is limited in intruding on private property by the common law. You're trespassing, guys. It's a home invasion. So the here again, the king and his agents were being restrained. So we're going to, when I bring on my special guest, Veronica Chapman, we're going to, this will transition nicely, because where does all of this unbridled, these invasions and surveillance and violations of our Constitution and the whole surveillance fascist state trace back to? Well, the most immediate thing is 9/11. And who did 9/11? It sure wasn't 19 dumb reckless. It was done by, yeah, these, it traces right back to the White House. So here we go, man. It's just they create the cause, and then they provide the solution that expands their power. It's ridiculous and outrageous. So I hope this thing just burns and flames and really goes ballistic, goes viral. Oh, you are listening to the Reynolds Reveal, and I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds. So rejoin us on the other side of the break, and let's hear what Veronica Chapman from the UK has got to say about all this.
This is Flatfire from the Industrial Bubble, and you are listening to the Guerrilla Media Network.
Ever ask yourself, where do the towers go? Well, if you want the truth, if you can handle the truth, tune in Thursdays and Fridays from 5 till 7 Pacific Coast Time. Dr. Judy Wood is doing a program called ICU PSYOP Recovery Program, addressing your questions, your curiosities, your mysteries regarding that fateful day. So it's a character-driven production on Guerrilla Media Network, 5 to 7, Thursdays and Friday evenings, Pacific Coast Time. If you can handle the truth, tune in.
Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000? Well, it happens to the best of us. Just ask Charlie.
I was a pro NFL player, defensive back. Yes, I did get a letter from the IRS.
It's a scary thing, even for a big man like Charlie.
Well, man, when you see those dreaded letters, capital IRS, $60,000, man, you almost dropped to your knees. You know, they were trying to levy my accounts, garnish me, real bad situation.
Charlie found out about the law offices of Craig Zimmerman.
I heard their commercial on the radio. I said, well, hey, let me give them a call. It was like talking to my brother, talking to a great friend. I called Craig Zimmerman, and they put a stop to it.
You'll love the way they do business.
Like we say in the NFL, they never drop the ball. They did a great job for me.
You may be able to significantly reduce your tax debt. Call the law offices of Craig Zimmerman and get your game plan. 800-638-0727.
Craig Zimmerman, they threw a touchdown for me.
Call now and find out how much you can save. 800-638-0727. 800-638-0727.
The Reynolds Reveal. I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds. And if you would like to speak to our guest, Veronica Chapman, or call in, we do encourage first-time callers especially. The number is 218-862-9829. My special guest today from the UK is Veronica Chapman. Welcome, Veronica.
Oh, thank you very much, Morgan, and thank you for having me on your show.
I'm so glad you stayed up late for us. It's 11:20 p.m. approximately across the pond.
Almost exactly. Actually, 11:26.
Okay.
So you're one of those midnight callers, are you, Morgan?
You know, I'm in Colorado at the moment, so it's only 4:26 p.m., so I've got a huge advantage over you right now on that. But, hey, give us a little mini bio. Tell us a little bit about your background before we go.
Okay. I suppose one it can go back to, the start. I fundamentally graduated from university as an electronics and electrical engineer, but my love at the time was a desperate urge to get into computers. This was, of course, back in the 1960s when computers were really just about, getting going. And actually the mini computer had just kind of been invented or had just come out. And so I left university. I didn't go for electronics jobs. I went straight into computer programming and stayed in computer programming all the way up until about 1989, of the last 10 years being freelance. Then I found that in 1989 I was getting... I'm sorry, I've got a message on my screen that says problem connecting. Is that...
I was having a connection problem, but you weren't. So continue.
Yeah, sure. I got to about 1989, and I'm going for contracts. And by then, there's a load of youngsters that come out of university who were interviewing me and saying that I knew too much to be employed. And and by the way, I wasn't the only one. I discovered other people of sort of about my age at the time. Because, of course, Morgan, you and I are roughly the same age, I think.
We're senior citizens, I guess.
Oh, we are. I'm 69 this year, so.
Okay.
Pretty close. 1945 was obviously a good year, and 1944 was a pretty good year as well. Anyway, I got being told that I was too experienced for what they wanted. Well, you can't really argue with somebody with that kind of mentality, so I thought, well, it's about time I did something else with my life. So I've done quite a few things since then. I could go into them, but it's not really relevant.
Let's thank you for that.
I was going to fast forward to 9/11, actually.
Yeah, me too. We're on the same.
So anyway, I stumbled across 9/11, and I stumbled across an article written by a guy called Jay McMichael, which was headed Muslims Defy the Laws of Physics, which I found a very interesting title, and I read it. And, of course, having done an awful lot of physics at university, I understood the equations, the kinetic energy equations and the potential energy equations. So I could read it and went, whoa, that's very interesting. The buildings came down.
What year was that, Veronica? What year?
Oh, that would be about 2004, I would say. 2004.
So you were like the rest of us. You didn't know what was really happening.
No. That's right. That's correct. Yeah. Just like everybody. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
At that point, I was listening to Alex Jones, and I remember you coming on to Alex Jones.
By the way, that was the first and last time when he
I know. We know why, don't we, Morgan? Yes, exactly. I just thought, well, hey, just a minute. This gentleman is talking some sense. And from that, I don't know how, but from that, I do know how, don't I? I don't know if you can recall a guy called Paul Sheridan, and the incident where he sent out an email, and I happened to be on his email list by then, I don't know how, saying that was rather strange. He'd been on the FBI website, and he looked up Osama bin Laden, and he had discovered that bin Laden wasn't wanted for 9/11. He was wanted for lots of other things, but not for 9/11. A guy called, I think I remember, Ed Haas, who ran a site, I can't remember the name of it, actually called the FBI and asked them about this. He spoke to, and I can remember the name of the representative he spoke to.
I want to say his name was Rex Gray. It was something like that.
I think it was Rex Toombs, actually. But it was definitely Rex
Toombs. That was it.
Yeah. Who actually confirmed it all, you know, he said, yes, we don't want Bin Laden for 9/11 because we've got no hard evidence, Well, you know, you have run a criminal justice center at one point, I know, and you know that there's evidence or not, and there's no such thing as hard evidence or the implication being, well, soft evidence. So that was quite, you know, a revelation.
You correct me if I'm wrong, because you've studied legal issues and the law at length. But it may be, I think this is correct, that the FBI, to put you on a most wanted list, has to gain an indictment. So the courts would be, a grand jury would be involved. They'd have to bring evidence into court before they could put you on the list. Probably that's what arrested that development or prevented it.
Yeah,
so they don't have any. Yeah,
that
may be the case. I don't know that sure.
It's two up on grand juries in the States, and one of the reasons being because I happen to know that this is getting off topic a bit, but I'll fill it in. I happen to know that not all states actually use the grand jury these days, and the original intent of a grand jury, the original remit of a grand jury, has been a heck of a lot watered down in many states as well.
The protection for the public was to restrain prosecutors from arbitrary or prejudicial indictments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we, I can't say abolish, because you can't abolish grand juries, but we actually subsumed, is probably the word, grand juries in 1931. So we haven't had grand juries in this country for my lifetime. But anyway, coming back to the story about the no hard evidence, I think it was about that time that I discovered Scholars for 9/11 Truth and started posting and applied to join. That was in the days when it was Jim Fetzer and Stephen Jones as co-chair.
Yes.
And you were a member, weren't you, at the time?
Yes.
And that, by the way, is how I met Andrew Johnson, the gentleman you had on last week through Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And that's really how I think you and I kind of cyber met, wasn't it? And then, of course, I was looking in the forum of ST9/11, and I saw the threads on the no plane stuff. And Gerard and Rosalie had tried to start conversations with these so-called, tried to start threads of debate with these so-called scholars. And I thought, I was very impressed with the way that Gerard set the scene and said, you know, in this thread we will talk about one thing, and if you go off topic, first of all, I'll ignore it, and secondly, if you do it again, I will, you know, reprimand you. The very simple reason that we have to stick to a topic. And I remember absolutely falling on the floor laughing. I can't remember what somebody posted, but I remember that Gerard's response was absolutely brilliant, because he said, are you saying that if you fired a pencil at a bullet, you'd make a pencil-shaped hole? And I fell on the floor laughing at that. I thought, my goodness me, this guy's really got some...
He is a great loss, yeah.
Absolutely. He's got some thought processes going. So, I don't know, somehow I managed to hook up with with the No Plains Group and discovered, you know.
Hey, Veronica, hold that thought. I want you to do a lot more on that topic, but I want to remind our audience why this is so important to talk about 9/11. In my preliminary remarks, I went on a rant, if you will, about Edward Snowden, who spilled the beans about the indiscriminate surveillance of the National Security Agency. It's a complete outrage against our Fourth Amendment of the Constitution about unreasonable searches and seizures. And all of this expansion of power by the central government, of course, traces back to 9/11. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. So we need to keep on working at exposing that all of these ill consequences, which are daily, are traced back to 9/11. We've got to get this right, people. So go on about the no plane. This is why it's so important. And it's not just about the truth. It's about all the consequences of the lies.
That is, of course, absolutely 100% correct, Morgan. I've got where we were. Oh, yes. I met you on, and I discovered on this No Planes group, you and Judy Wood were involved in that. And that's really how we met, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Although I must admit most of the research had been done by the time I found the group. And I largely spent my time batting away the Stephen Jones attack dogs, who were, you know, breathing fire and brimstone down our necks, saying that we were, you know, disinformation and all kinds of things like that. But the whole point about it was, you know, it's all very well saying, well, AA Flight AA 11 hit the North Tower and Flight AA 77 hit the Pentagon, but didn't. But the problem is that you've got to actually prove that those two planes actually took off on that day.
And there's other problems, yes.
Yeah, there's nothing in the database to say that those planes even existed on that day. So you've got a problem, because before you tell me that AA 11 hit the North Tower, you've got to prove it took off. And although we can show that the United Airlines flights did actually take off, before you prove that Flight 93, that's a very interesting thing, something that I've just remembered, by the way. I remembered that today. Before you prove or say that Flight 93 crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, you've got to somehow disprove that it actually didn't land in Cleveland, Ohio. So,
one of the things that jumps out at me, there are so many facts that are.
Can't hear you, Morgan. Are we still connected?
What we are. I think we're having a problem with his internet connection. He'll be back here momentarily.
Okay.
Hold on just 1 second.
Okay. I could carry on if you like.
Yeah, hold on with just one second. All right, that's what we'll do. We will take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Reynolds Reveal. And right after this break, we should be fine with Dr. Reynolds joining us back for this next segment. So don't go away. And if you'd like to call in, 218-862-9829.
Broadcast has been brought to you by the Real Media Network. Are you over your head in debt and not sure what to do? Did you know there's a way to legally wipe out debt? Stop harassing phone calls, even stop foreclosure or repossession? Well, the answer is yes. Pick up the phone right now and call the bankruptcy hotline at the law offices of Craig Zimmerman. With 17 years' experience as a practicing attorney, Craig knows how to get the creditors off your back and get you peace of mind. Most people don't realize that bankruptcy is a great alternative by immediately stopping collection calls, allowing you to keep your home, eliminate all of your debt, and give you a fresh start. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation at 800-281-2286 and learn how bankruptcy could help you. So stop wondering what to do with your debt and call us at 800-281-2286. 800-281-2286. Not all will qualify. The law offices of Craig Zimmerman is federally designated as a debt relief agency. Office is located in Dallas and Santa Ana, California.
Pittman & Davis is a family-owned company that's been in business for over 80 years, specializing in delivery of fresh fruit, smoked meats, cheeses, pastries, and other scrumptious gift food items.
What's more, Pittman & Davis gift food selections are meticulously prepared to ensure the finest quality possible and made in small batches to be shipped fresh daily.
Pittman & Davis, fresh fruits and gifts since 1926. Visit the PeteSantilliShow.com/gift right now to see their selections.
For a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
And that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Welcome back to the Reynolds Reveal. I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds, and we do welcome callers here at the Guerrilla Media Network. And if you would like to call in, the number is 218-862-9829. Now, I've had a connection problem here keeping this interview going, and I've got to tell our listeners that there is a major forest fire pretty close to me. Maybe 10 miles from Colorado Springs. I'm at the north end of Colorado Springs, and there's a major forest fire in a suburb called Black Forest, and at least five homes were ablaze, some McMansion, they looked like to me, some sad events. But, and the wind was going northeast, which was favorable to my location. I don't know if it's got anything to do with my Wi-Fi connection here at the hotel, but a year ago I was evacuated from a town just west of Colorado Springs. So I was joking to Pete and Veronica that I might be banned from visiting Colorado again, and especially if I bring my motorcycle up here. Veronica, finish up your remaining thoughts on 9/11.
Yeah,
I know your intellectual journey then took you elsewhere, but
yes, I'd like to mention what I've just remembered, if I may. As you know, that all aircraft have tail numbers, and they're unique. And one thing that I do remember is stumbling upon, and don't ask me how, the website of one of these plane spotters. You know, we call them anoraks. They go around spotting trains and planes, and they have catalogs of all that kind of thing. And I remember actually seeing a website that was one of these guys' websites. I don't know how I got to it. Maybe it was a link from Serendipity or something. And he showed a picture of a plane, which he obviously knew what the tail number was. And underneath it said, "This is very strange." This was about six. This photograph was taken about 6 months after 9/11. And he said, this is very strange because that is the tail number of Flight 93. Now, I didn't really realize the significance of that at the time, but I'll tell you one other thing. I checked back a couple of months later and that website had gone. So, and I must admit, that's something that I only just remembered recently, but that's another interesting thing because we know that Flight 93 didn't crash in Shanksville. And then of course, we've got Flight 175, which was supposed to hit the South Tower. And I remember you doing a rather wonderful picture of, what was it, Roadrunner, a silhouette of Roadrunner on the side of one of the towers saying it to, oh, I think he's disconnected again. Saying that effectively that was as much of a cartoon that hit the South Tower as the other cartoon. And I think he's back again.
Are we back again? Yeah. I was going to add, I disconnected again. It's just terrible. But I recall two of the aircraft were deregistered 4 years after the fact.
Correct.
And two of them were deregistered in January of 2002. And FAA regulations require them to deregister aircraft, destroyed aircraft, within 24 hours.
That's
so
right.
That was also strange.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. In fact, okay. You know, strangest mounts up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, their story is so weak. Have you looked at Richard D. Hall's work where he looked
yes,
at...
Yes, I have. Yes, he's a friend of Andrew's, of course. Yes, I have. Very, very... I mean, I like Richard D. Hall anyway. I always have for the very simple reason that... oh, no, I don't sound like it, but actually I was born in his part of the world up in Durham. Now, I've always been very impressed by his website. And I think you're talking about his research into that thing that we actually ignored. If you remember, certainly I don't remember talking much about it on the no planes side. That kind of ball, which I do remember, we actually knew about supposedly hit the north. Well, look, certainly on the video, it looked as though it hit the North Tower. And he did some research on that, which was very, very impressive, I thought.
Well, he's the part that I'm impressed with, but we need confirmation by other modelers, is his 3D modeling show that the path of these videos that have enough footage all coincide. So
yep.
What that says is the way they did it was they had some kind of image projection technology that
yes.
Looked like a plane, but it answers, if this works out, it answers the question of the video images make the plane look different and different from different angles. And it must be that the image isn't stable enough or in bright daylight. It can't look like the real deal the whole way. And the disappearing rudder or engine and, you know, the whole poor quality of the videos that show impossible penetration without a violent collision at the South Tower face there. It's very, very innovative.
Sorry, did you say the South Tower? Because I thought we were talking about the North.
No, the South Tower is where all the... That was the second hit at 9:03 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. And it was I think his username was Still Digging. Frank did a lot of work on that. And,
oh, yes.
And if you remember, there's a Jim Friedel video, which then... takes to Chopper 5, which within about 7 seconds goes from a very, very long shot of the two towers to I think after about 4 very, very quick zooms, goes to a really, you know, close-up shot. And as soon as it hits that last zoom, in comes this cartoon from the right-hand side, just melts into the building with absolutely no debris thrown back at all. Oh, well, because it's a cartoon. Mm-hmm. And then comes out the other side. Its nose is perfectly...
Oh, the nose out.
But you can only see that if you single frame, which, of course, most video editing software can do these days. There was that.
And, of course, the nose on aircraft is very tender. It's very delicate. It's a lot of electronics up there in the nose.
Isn't it, or something like
that? Yes, it's some kind of high-grade plastic, typically, at least in the corporate
side. It doesn't cut through steel mandrels and stuff like that. I think take that for granted, can't we?
Well, if you're ready, let's go on to other things, largely based on your work, which is a book available, and we should plug your website. The way to get there is Free Man on the Land, FMOTL.com. Is that the best way to get there?
The best way to get there is to type it. That's actually correct, but the best way to get there is to type in info.fmotl.com. In other words, instead of the www, type info in lowercase. But my website is actually very bland because all you'll get is a list of a page full of links and a couple of cartoons at the bottom. Because I'm not really a graphics person, I'm more of a writing person. And what you'll find are links to articles, information about the court system. Largely directed towards the UK court system. But when you remember that all US attorneys are members of the British Bar Association, which is a very interesting situation to be in, and also when you remember that America was founded, they say it was founded under God, but it was actually founded under the common law. And so consequently, since it's all about common law, that actually does apply to America as much as it applies to, England or all Commonwealth countries, like Canada and Australia and South Africa and places like that. Because the common law is very applicable to large, widespread.
I want to tell the listeners about the one cartoon that really caught my favor, and that is, it shows a long, wide plank.
Yeah,
about half of it on the edge of a cliff, and the other out over the open air.
Yeah,
and out on the open air is a rostrum with a speaker, with his hand up, and the man of power, presumably. And on the other end, on the land side of the cliff, is a couple dozen people, and all they have to do, they have the power. Not
exactly. Yes. Yeah. They're balancing the plank, and in that cartoon, one of them is walking away. All that's got to happen is all of them walk away, and that guy is just down the abyss, isn't he?
Right. Yes. And hey, you're listening to the Reynolds Reveal, and come on back after the break to hear from the UK's Veronica of the Chapman family.
Dr. Judy Wood, author of Where Did the Towers Go? And you're listening to the Guerrilla Media Network.
Ever ask yourself, where did the towers go? Well, if you want the truth, if you can handle the truth, tune in Thursdays and Fridays from 5 to 7 Pacific Coast Time.
Dr. Judy Wood is doing a program called ICU PSYOP Recovery Program, addressing your questions, your curiosities, your mysteries regarding that fateful day. So it's a character-driven production on Guerrilla Media Network, 5 to 7, Thursdays and Friday evenings, Pacific Coast time. If you can handle the truth, tune in. Get your credit repaired today at GreatCreditNow.com. We'll help remove bankruptcies, judgments, foreclosures, and late payments from your credit reports.
Great Credit Now was phenomenal. I was able to reestablish my credit. I even bought a brand new car. Thanks, Great Credit Now.
Great Credit Now helps some of our customers lower their interest rates and save money.
Save time and save money, and get approved for the new car or home you want without crazy interest rates or high payments. Call now for your free credit consultation, 800-258-0653.
Welcome back to the Reynolds Reveal. I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds. And if you would like to call in, the number here at the Guerrilla Media Network is 218-862-9829. Veronica Chapman of the UK is my special guest, and she's staying up late. And we are going on to discuss some material based on his very deep book, as well as a practical. It's called Freedom is More Than Just a Seven-Letter Word. It's 216 pages, and while I agree with a good deal of it, there's some I have problems with that we're going to, I think, probably want to discuss in a separate show. It's right up my alley, money and credit and banking and all the issues there in. But I love, Veronica, your base separation of part of what's wrong in our world, and that is legal versus lawful. Now, you have this in the book, but I'm just going to give exactly what you wrote. One type of law is the law of nature, unbreakable. The second is the common law, that is, law. It's rules considered lawful by free men, right, just, honorable, et cetera. It's consensus. It's case law, and this is the great gift of England, I would say, to the world. There have been many, but, this I love the common law. And then your third type is legislated rules or statute law. And then there's I once went to a two-week school, law school for economists, that was conducted at Dartmouth and New Hampshire. And I think it was Morris Arnold, who he's from Arkansas, actually, and he introduced his part of the course by saying, "Welcome to 98% of the law, which is regulation." Well, regulation is not constitutional. It's not common law. It's all derived from statute law. It's the executive branch just issuing its arbitrary decrees. At any rate, this whole third part is huge. There are, who knows, thousands and thousands of statutes. So let's go back. Well, I think most of us understand laws of nature, gravity being the obvious example. But whether it's Boyle's Law or your other examples, maybe you want to comment on that. But we need a lot of time, I think, on what the common law is and why it's so good, i.e. moral, and creates peaceful coexistence and has all these benign consequences.
Yes. Well, actually, you said that it was England's gift. It actually wasn't. Because the common law is actually just common sense. and everyone on the planet has common sense. We're built with it. In fact, all creatures have their own version of common sense. You know, there's horse sense, chicken sense, dog sense. I mean, you had a puppy some while ago. I presume that puppy's now grown, Morgan. But I can assure you that that dog of yours has its own version of common sense. In actual fact, the common law is not written.
Oh, let me hold, stop you. We have a couple of callers. Veronica, you keep that in mind. We need a lesson on common law. We have Ryan on line one. Ryan, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, well, the point is that you're making is that common law is separated from other kinds of law. Is that right?
That's for me. The common law actually is the only man-made law. The law of gravity we didn't make. No court is required to decide that things fall down, and there's no penalty for breaking the law of gravity because you can't break it. The common law is actually the common sense that that all our ancestors have had. It's the common sense on how to live in peace with your neighbours on land without rancour. And there are only really four fundamental aspects to it. You don't initiate violence. You don't hurt anybody, certainly not deliberately, and as far as possible, not even accidentally, although you have to be reasonable. But I can give an example on that if necessary. You don't...
But what, Veronica, you would say the whole statute, the legislation, related regulations and so on, executive authority is legalese, and yes. It's not law properly.
Exactly.
It's not law. In fact, you say it's the inverse of law.
It's the exact opposite of law, because if you go back to what I just said about the laws of nature, say the law of gravity, it's not made by men. No court's required to judge it, and there's no penalty for breaking it. In the case of statutes, it is made by men, which is the opposite. A court is required in order to decide it, and there is always a penalty for breaking it. So it's opposite, opposite, opposite. Now, the opposite of law is, or the opposite of lawful, is, of course, unlawful. And unlawful things are done by outlaws. And your country is, you know, the ones that provided us with all the westerns, where you had outlaws being chased by. Basically, saying is that the people that make statutes are actually, and the people that enforce statutes are actually outlaws, because they're enforcing the exact opposite of law. Now.
Veronica, let me ask Ryan. Are we on the right track, Ryan, to answer your question, or you want to chime in at this point?
I guess where I was going with that is that so at what point? Well, let me start with this: that is it ever okay for the common for the legal framework to trump common law? Is that should we, in other words, what happens when the courts are not following common law?
When the courts are operated by outlaws. The answer to your question is, under no circumstances could it ever be that illegal trumps the common law. And the reason for that is, if you go back to 1215, when the first documentation of the common law occurred in England, and they didn't write it all down, they just wrote some of it down, which was the Magna Carta of 1215. At that point in time, there was no such thing as Parliament. So in 1295, when the first Parliament evolved in England, obviously it evolved under the common law. And the whole point is that the common law is common sense, and you can't trump common sense. That's why the common law is always decided by a jury of 12, or the indictments decided by a grand jury of people who are grand jurors. And the actual, that's the indictment, the actual verdict in a trial is always delivered by 12 ordinary people called the petty jury. And so the whole point is that they use their common sense. They don't listen to statutes. They don't care what anybody else says about anything. The only thing that they decide on is the evidence presented against the accused person, using their common sense. Now, the wonderful thing about it, and there is a website, American website, called, I've forgotten what it's called, but fundamentally, it talks about what is known as jury nullification. And what jury nullification is, is very simple. If in a trial, the jury finds someone not guilty, when a statute would say that that person was guilty, the jury's verdict trumps the statute, always. And that effectively, if that happens enough times, the provisions in the statute are null and void because you can't get them past the jury. And that actually, that situation has happened many times in your country and in mine. An actual fact, it happened happened twice a few years ago, where there were trials. One was actually an inquest in front of a jury, and one was then actually a trial. And although the judges were urging the jurors to find these the accused guilty, in both cases common sense prevailed, and the jury's verdict was the common sense verdict. I can, you know, go.
It's a great thing have that available, jury nullification. Ryan, I'll give you one more go at it because I've got another caller on the line. Ryan?
Sure. Well, jury nullification is a great suggestion. I think we all need to know about that and use that.
Google it, and you'll come up with the website.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're in agreement there. On line two, we've got Nemo. Nemo, what's on your mind today?
Hi, how you doing? I had a question for the guest. Talking about like the judicial system, even like how England's made. I look at it and I see like that. Like, for instance, if you take a police officer. A police officer is not allowed to do detective work because it's not part of his, like, his job duty. So it sounds like the same way how they built the judicial system is that other people can't do other, let's say, investigations or other things. My question is, because the way they built the system, it's almost, like, impossible to have an intervention. And what do you think about that?
I must admit you're kind of breaking up for me, so I'm not sure I got it all, but I think you were suggesting that police officers are not doing their job. Was that what you were saying?
No. Here, can you hear me better now?
Oh, yes. Hello? Yes. Could you have a long go?
Okay. What I'm saying is, compared to the judicial system, look at the police, for instance, as an example, the police officers aren't allowed to do detective work because they're patrol officers. And compared to the judicial system, it's almost the same way, especially like in England, too, how they have everything set up is almost like they're not allowed to look into other things, and that's the way they built it, in other words.
Are you saying there's a problem with over-specialization? Is that what you're putting on your finger on? Is it too narrow a specialization?
What I'm trying to say is do you think that there's a point that the people can have an intervention and say, listen, this is all messed up, the system. Do you think that there's a chance of an intervention with the judicial system?
Oh, yes, we can, and we are, and I'll tell you what it's called, and I'm sure that it's perfectly possible to do it in your country. It's called a private criminal prosecution. And what that means is that you prosecute whoever has wronged you. And there is a friend of mine who has got three of those ongoing at the moment. He has two policemen in court, in the dock, charged with kidnap, as well as things like aggravated assault, aggravated burglary. Now, the charge of kidnap, because they kidnapped him without a warrant, if they're found guilty by the jury, the maximum penalty is life imprisonment. And that's just on that one. He's actually got them on about six charges. He's also got a secretary, a civilian secretary who worked for a police commander. He's got her in court, charged with perverting the course of justice. Once again, very long prison sentence if she's found guilty. He's also got a private civil prosecution going against the police commander who was this lady's boss for defamation of character. Yes, the private way is the way to do it. You don't bother with going to a lawyer. You don't bother with a solicitor. You do it yourself. And actually, it's not hard at all. And the instructions on how to do it in the UK, you would have to translate them to some extent for the United States. But it's all common law, so they will translate pretty well.
So, Veronica, is one of the problems the state invokes sovereign immunity? In other words, we don't have to obey the rules the rest of the society has, or, you know, that jurisdiction has to, the common law. No, we're outside the common law, really. Is that a problem in England?
Oh, they try very hard. Yes. Mm-hmm. They try very hard, but they've not yet succeeded in doing that. Oh, they try hard. My friend has been...
Is it your assessment that this suit is likely to, or cause of action is likely? Is, you sound optimistic, like it's going to be a result.
They have thrown lots of spanners in the works, which is the reason why it's still ongoing, but it's now going back 3 years, and that's only because they've tried every delaying tactic, but they've not succeeded.
Veronica Chapman has lots of practical ways to correct some of the problems in our society in this book. It's amazing. You are listening to The Reynolds Reveal, so come on back and let's learn more about lawful rebellion, about how to restore the common law.
Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing?
Pittman & Davis is a family-owned company that's been in business for over 80 years, specializing in delivery of fresh fruit, smoked meats, cheeses, pastries, and other scrumptious gift food items.
What's more, Pittman & Davis gift food selections are meticulously prepared to ensure the finest quality possible and made in small batches to be shipped fresh daily.
Pittman & Davis, fresh fruits and gifts since 1926. Visit thePeteSantilliShow.com/gift right now to see their selections.
Get your credit repaired today at GreatCreditNow.com. We'll help remove bankruptcies, judgments, foreclosures, and late payments from your credit reports.
Great Credit Now was phenomenal. I was able to reestablish my credit. I even bought a brand new car. Thanks, Great Credit Now.
Great Credit Now helps some of our customers lower their interest rates and save money.
Save time and save money, and get approved for the new car or home you want without crazy interest rates or high payments. Call now for your free credit consultation, 800-258-0653.
Ever ask yourself, where do the towers go? Well, if you want the truth, if you can handle the truth, tune in Thursdays and Fridays from 5 till 7 Pacific Coast Time. Dr. Judy Wood
is doing a program called ICU PSYOP Recovery Program, addressing your questions, your curiosities, your mysteries regarding that fateful day. So it's a character-driven production on Guerrilla Media Network, 5 to 7, Thursdays and Friday evenings, Pacific Coast time. If you can handle the truth, tune in.
Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone. I'm a going home. My baby wrote me a letter. Well, she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me.
Welcome back to the Reynolds Reveal. I'm your host, Morgan Reynolds. And we've got a couple of callers yet on the line, but if you want to add your voice, the number is 218-862-9829. So let me go back to Nemo and see if you've got a follow-up question for our guest from the UK, Veronica Chapman.
Yeah, I had one more other question for you, sir. If you ever looked into, like, the media, I think the media is really important because it has the information to the source, to the masses, and wanted to know if you could say anything about the media on those levels.
The media, was that the question about the media?
Yes, I was saying, sir, that the media, it's real important with the information, especially with the lies, with the to the masses. So
the
I just want to know if you ever looked into that.
Sorry, let's exclude Guerrilla Media Network, but we're talking about the mainstream media, I presume you're talking about.
I want to know if you looked into that at all and how it's important.
The mainstream media were implicitly involved in 9/11, and we don't look to the mainstream media for anything. They were written off, certainly in my mind, many, many years ago. There was an instance, for example, where my friend Andrew Johnson, who was a guest on Morgan's program last week, he is now fundamentally the sounding board for Judy Wood, and I know that at one stage the BBC, which is mainstream media in our country, were trying to interview Judy. And they're well known. Andrew had a pretty good idea what they were going to do, which was to interview Judy and then cut and paste the thing to make her look silly. And fundamentally, Andrew had a few questions and so on with them, but they were responding in the way that he assumed that they would. And eventually, he turned around and said, "No." So we actually bat away the media, the mainstream media. I actually think that they're going downhill anyway, because the alternative media on the internet is the thing that's really, you know, gone exponential in the last few years. And in fact, you can tell, because all the mainstream media now use the internet as much as they can.
And Veronica, one of the encouraging things is how young people, they don't read newspapers, they use the internet. They don't believe the corporate the press.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. That is what is so wonderful. So wonderful. And I know so many of them as well. Yes. They are not stupid by a long, long way. Yes, that's a wonderful thing.
Let's back up. I see Ryan is still on the line. Ryan, did you want to chime in at this point? Ryan. Okay, well, thank you, Ryan and Nemo, for your calls.
Thanks.
It's kind of interesting, Veronica, in that your book, of course, you identify the media as, in effect, an arm of the state. And,
yeah.
the whole mass mind control.
Yep.
And you really, like many Morgan. Of us.
Morgan, I had to unmute myself. I was not unmuted. This is Ryan. Hello?
Hello? I'm sorry.
Hi. Can I talk? I didn't want to break in.
Are you sure? I mean, if you want to go ahead. Ryan,
sure.
Is it?
Sorry. Sorry, didn't want to break in, you guys. All right. Andrew Johnson was actually on the show with Pete Santilli today. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No, sorry.
Well, actually, I mean, he was discussing chemtrails. Another big issue is this geoengineering and the smart meters. They're actually directed energy weapons. That's what people are discovering.
Yes, that's correct. The Californians, someone in California had actually taken one of the companies that were talking about smart meters to court and got a judgment in a common law court on the basis of the company was charged with being a public nuisance. Now, public nuisance is actually a common law offense. I think we've lost Morgan again. I think Colorado.
I'm back. Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I was just talking to Ryan, and he was talking about chemtrails. Which I do you know about chemtrails and smart meters, Morgan? I don't know.
I was gonna. We were gonna cover that with Andrew, but we didn't. No, I'm really ignorant about that issue.
Okay. Well, smart meters are actually a directed energy weapon, effectively, which they're basically introducing into our home. They're meters which they will attach to the wall, which will control your electricity and gas supplies and so on.
They can actually turn the amperage up in any place in your house that they choose, and they can also direct the radiation from the smart meters. It's like HARP. If you've ever looked into the way HARP works to create like the radiation field comes together and is directed at an area, they try to do that with the smart meter grid.
Hello.
Did you hear that? Hello.
I keep getting put on hold. I don't know what's happening. Hello? Is there anybody
I think
there?
Morgan dropped off. I don't hear Morgan anymore.
We're all set now, gentlemen. Sorry.
Okay. Ryan was telling us about smart meters and how that if you increase the amperage anywhere, it's all registered so they can track and trace you, I think is what he was saying, yeah.
It's not only to trace, it's directed energy weapons. It is a beam weapon. That's what I'm talking about.
It's a beam weapon, yes it is, absolutely. What we're doing about it over here is I've actually written to the CEO of one of the bigger companies called British Gas, telling him that I'll prosecute him, I'll take out a private criminal prosecution against him for public nuisance, because that's a common law offence, if he attaches a smart meter anywhere near me. It doesn't matter whether it's on mine or my neighbours or wherever, anywhere around me where I'm affected by it, I will take out a private criminal prosecution against him, and I've told him that. I understand that in California, they took out a prosecution against one of the utility companies and actually won on the basis of public nuisance. That was a few months ago now. I think that was even last year. Basically, there's no point in going on demonstrations. There's no point in letter writing campaigns. You go for the jugular. You prosecute. And that's got to be the answer to everything. Is anybody online? Well, I don't know. Hello?
Oh, shit.
I think I think we lost Dr. Reynolds again.
Oh, okay. I think I'm going to be banned for causing all this trouble, aren't I?
No, no, no. Not your fault at all. Dr. Reynolds, are you there? Uh-oh.
According to his phone, yes. But,
We keep getting disconnected, and he's trying to reconnect again. And ladies and gentlemen, just to let everyone know, Dr. Reynolds is in the Colorado area, and there's breaking news reports of the major fires that are taking place in Colorado Springs. So we apologize for the technical difficulties, and Dr. Reynolds, are you back? No, we have lost Dr. Reynolds. Okay, Veronica, if you have any further commentary. Veronica, are you there? Do you have any further commentary?
I don't know whether... Is Ryan still on the line? I don't know.
Ryan is now still on the line. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello?
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hello. Ryan, we're awfully sorry about this, Dr. Reynolds is in Colorado, and apparently there's problems up there, and he keeps disconnecting. So I'm really, really sorry about it. You were talking about...
Can I tell you something interesting about what's happening right now? Is Reynolds connected on Skype by chance?
He's connecting on Skype, that's correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's not it, but I was just talking with Rosalind Peterson. I don't know if you know who that is by chance, but she's trying to expose smart meters and chemtrails out here in California. And she was telling me that she, at one house, she doesn't get this problem on her Skype account, but when she's at her at a different house that she attends very often, she cannot make calls on Skype. She can't use Skype. Mm. And she says it has something to do with the power around there. Mm. So anyway, it's just a little food for thought. I have no idea how it could work in here.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, see if we can't connect with Dr. Reynolds, and we'll be right back.
I only got half of that, actually. Hello?
Dr. Reynolds, are you there now? Dr. Reynolds? Hello? Hello,
hello?
Hello? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, we got feedback now. What a mess. Okay. Let me see if I can't try to connect him again. Let me hang up, Veronica. I'll call you right back. Ah, what a mess.
Hello.
Hi, Veronica and Dr. Reynolds, are you there?
I'm back.
Oh, you are. Okay. All right, let's see if we can't get through the final segment here as quickly as possible. And as long as we have you on the line, you ready?
Yeah.
Dr. Reynolds, are you there? No, we're losing him. Okay. Well, if we don't catch him real quick here, hold on. We will. I mean, this is just an unfortunate. Yeah, he's losing connection totally here.
Yeah.
Dr. Reynolds. No. Okay, here we go.
Who are you?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is what's been going on. It is a Tuesday, June 11th, and you're listening to the Reynolds Reveal. And due to a major, it looks like a major forest fire that's in the breaking news right now in Colorado Springs, unfortunately, Dr. Reynolds is right in the middle of it, and we're having a problem with the Skype connection. Joined by Veronica out of the UK. Veronica, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. You know, we may have to conclude the episode early, and I apologize for, you know, we may have to reconvene if you and Dr. Reynolds could connect. It's been a great conversation all the way around, but I hope you understand the technical difficulties we're experiencing
absolutely.
Out of Colorado Springs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will, you know, we can finish it at some point, anytime if you like.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very, very much. And again, I apologize for the technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, but as of this day, Tuesday, June 11th, there's a major, major forest fire going on in Colorado Springs, and that's exactly where Dr. Reynolds is located right now. So a bad Skype connection. We've tried to reconnect with him multiple times. And that will conclude this episode, unless Dr. Reynolds connects right now.
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, we were apologizing, and if there's any chance, people are very patient. They understand things like this, but we're in the final segment here. We just came out of the opening music, and the conversation actually proceeded with Ryan, between Ryan and Veronica. They were talking about smart meter technology.
Yes, I caught that. Hey, I want to bring up a couple of issues that I understand and you could expound on a little bit in your book. One was a simple issue of licensing to engage in an occupation where Veronica says, hey, it's lawful. Where do people get the chutzpah to require you to get a license?
Well, yes, that's precisely the point, isn't it? Where did I get that from? How about Blue Sky? This actually leads on to a much larger topic, to be perfectly honest, which is the topic of what actually is the government, what actually is the state, and how could it possibly ever be moral? And the answer to that is, if you really think hard about it, no government of any kind could ever be moral and honorable.
In the book, I don't recall you saying that outright. So it's
no, I've only said that recently. I did actually send you an audio link to a 2 or 3 minute audio that I'd made of it. Because I only really got to that fundamental level in the last, I suppose, 4 or 5 weeks, by stumbling upon, as I generally do, an American guy called Larken Rose. That's L-A-R-K-E-N is his Christian name, and Rose is his surname, and we've lost Morgan again. And Larken Rose, I seriously recommend people go to larkenrose.com and watch Larken's videos, because they are quite amazing. I don't think Larken realizes how close to lawful rebellion he is, but his insights are quite stunning. And just exactly what law is, and exactly what... he actually has a video which is entitled "The Whole Problem and the Solution in 2 Minutes," where he explains the whole problem and the solution in 2 minutes. And he's absolutely spot on. And we're still
here's
waiting
another,
trying to get Morgan
of
back.
The kind of illegitimacy.
Oh, you're back, Morgan.
Yes, I'm back. Here's another comment that I love when you address the issue of the global elite and psychopath. And that is, you know, some 1 in 25, it's alleged by the psychological or psychiatric community, is born a psychopath. And one of the issues, which of course means you have no empathy, no appreciation of the equal rights of others.
Correct.
You have no conscience in the conventional sense of the term. But
correct.
the smart psychos know how to emulate conscience. In other words, they're faking it through their life. I mean, Lyndon Baines Johnson didn't even fake it very well. He's a
No. He wasn't a very good actor, but
no. But George Bush, George W. Bush, he's a psychopath, no question.
Oh, absolutely. And a terrible actor as well. Yes.
And you state, and I don't know if this is really confirmed and by geneticists, but you say there's a missing gene in some people. Really, it's a single gene related deficiency.
As far as I read, don't forget, I'm not the expert on. I'm quoting a man whose surname I find rather difficult to write, let alone pronounce. But it's something like Andrew Lobachevsky or something, and it's his book, The Politics of Polarology, and that's where the information came from. I'm relying on him as an expert.
Yeah. Suppose it's true. This is a really fascinating line to pursue because there's a lot of inbreeding, it seems.
Oh, yes.
In the privileged groups, the real power. You know, it's like the Ivy League colleges are. That's the place to be, and the like. And then you point out, hey, bloodlines have to be kept pure to keep it, the psychopath breeding pool together.
Well, from what I've seen and seen in my life, I mean that seems to be what's happening. We know that they try and keep the lines pure by interbreeding. Certainly. Royal families do. That certainly happens in our country. But then when you look, every single president of the United States apparently has been, or certainly was up until Bush Jr., every president was related back to, was it George III or something, of England?
There's a lot of interesting genealogy there.
Yes.
And then you conclude, now this is a powerful conclusion if this really is valid, and that is they don't have a better nature. So political pleading or demonstration, all the normal methods to make your grievances known don't work.
Exactly. All they do is laugh at you behind their hands for wasting your time doing it. And, of course, it gives the police and the Secret Services a chance to add agents provocateurs and stir up trouble, make you look bad. I come back to the way to take them out is to privately prosecute them. Sorry, that's in a country like mine where we don't generally have guns, of course. But we do have the mechanism of private prosecution, private criminal prosecution. And I absolutely am 100%, no, I'm 99.99999% sure that somewhere in your system you will find that you have that mechanism as well, because it comes from the common law. And Jefferson and Hancock and so on, they all understood the common law. That's, you've only got to look at the U.S. Constitution to see, oh, they understood the common law very, very well. So that's why you took on grand juries as a system. That's why you took on petty juries as a system. Because that is all common law.
Another way to think about the common law.
I guess he's gone again.
Uh-oh.
Colorado, how can you do this to us?
Yeah, almost made it there.
Yeah.
Let's see if he'll reconnect. Is he coming back? Ah. We'll give it just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, our founding fathers had a pretty good understanding of the common law.
Oh, they had a very good understanding.
I'm just thinking, I'm hearing, for instance, individuals here in the United States or in Canada are taking their cases to common law courts in Brussels.
Don't read too much into that one. That's just a guy called Kevin Annett who's kind of sort of doing it himself. He's kind of climbed on the bandwagon. And there's an awful lot of stuff about how he's they've issued warrants against the Queen and right. and you know, the Pope and all that kind of thing. And of course, you know, the Queen is still doing what she always did, which is reneging on every promise she ever made to the British people. I wouldn't take too much.
Guess what?
Are you back, Morgan?
Oh, that's unfortunate. Ladies and gentlemen, as we said, this is, we'll call it a special edition of the Reynolds Reveal. I will do the honors of concluding this episode of the Reynolds Reveal. Veronica, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, there's going to be other issues that you folks will want to talk about. And if you could, please connect with Dr. Reynolds whenever you can. We'll be sure to have you back on the Reynolds Reveal at a future date.
Well, I'd be very pleased to do that because I've known Morgan a long time, and I'd be very happy to. And thank you very much for having me on, Pete.
Oh, thank you for being on. And as a listener, I really enjoyed the presentation. Thank you so much for your knowledge and insight. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this episode of the Reynolds Reveal. And like I said, we had technical difficulties, but we'll wrap this one, this special episode, and we will be back next Tuesday for the Reynolds Reveal. That's all, folks.